Today on the Wisdom Journey, we arrive in 2 Kings 5. The miraculous healing of Naaman illustrates that God often uses unexpected means and unexpected people to accomplish his purposes. It also reminds us that at the center of God's plan is his grace, which must be humbly received in faith. Grace isn't limited to those born into the right family. Grace is available to everyone, and it isn't something you have to purchase with gold or good deeds. Let's learn more.
Some words instantly produce strong emotional responses in us, don't they? Words like wedding or vacation or springtime, they kind of give us happy thoughts and feelings. Words like war, hurricane, and disease do the exact opposite. One of the most disturbing words a person could ever hear in biblical times is the word leprosy. As we journeyed through the book of Leviticus, we learned that leprosy can refer to a variety of skin diseases, but all of them were considered incurable. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, not only because of physical danger, but because of the isolation and the ostracism that went along with it. Now, we're here in 2 Kings in chapter 5 in our journey through the Bible, and we're about to watch the prophet Elisha miraculously heal a leper who lived outside the nation of Israel. The first verse sort of sets the stage by introducing us to this very important man. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, Israel and Syria had been engaged in conflict off and on for years. But at this point, there seems to be some degree of peaceful coexistence. Evidently, Naaman was successful in the past when these two nations fought, because we're told here in verse 2 that his wife had an Israelite girl serving as a housemaid. She had evidently been carried away after one of Naaman's victories. Now, you might have noticed in the resume of Naaman here, he's called a great man. He's referred to as a man in high favor, as a mighty man of valor. But then you come to this shocking statement, but he was a leper. Listen, he's had all these accolades and great titles over the years, but now he's simply known as Naaman the leper. And among all the people who are concerned about him, surprisingly, is this young Israelite girl. She's evidently not holding any grudges for her life of servitude to this commander. In fact, we read here in verse 3, she said to her mistress, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." Now, this tells us that she has faith in God's power. She also has faith in the ministry of the Lord's prophet, Elisha. This little girl's a believer. Now, Naaman knows he doesn't have any other hope of being healed. So he goes to his Syrian king and asks for permission to go find Elisha. Here in verse 5, the king not only grants him permission, but gives him a letter to deliver to Israel's king. And with that, Naaman takes off, carrying with him a payment of 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Well, he's going to evidently pay Elisha for healing him. And by the way, this would be equal to several $1 million today. I mean, that's almost as much as your copay when you visit your doctor to get help medically. Well, Naaman goes to Samaria and presents the letter to Jehoram, which basically reads, "See that my servant Naaman is healed of his leprosy." Well, of course, Jehoram knows this is impossible. So he assumes the king of Syria is looking for a reason to start another fight. He says back here in verse 7, "See how he is seeking a quarrel with me?" Well, Elisha hears about all this and sends word to the king in verse 8 saying, "Let him, Naaman, come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. Well, Naaman and his entourage drive over to Elisha's house, but Elisha won't answer the door. Instead, he sends a messenger to him with some simple instructions here in verse 10. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Well, Naaman is offended by this kind of treatment, and he responds here in verse 11. Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You know what's happening? Elisha's bringing this man to a point of humility and obedience to the word of God, but it doesn't look like Naaman is interested in humility and the word of God. So he gets in his little cart and he's ready to ride away. But then one of his servants tells him, essentially here, why don't you eat humble pie? Why don't you just do this simple procedure? I mean, what do you have to lose? So, somewhat surprisingly, Naaman humbles himself. He goes to the Jordan River and dips himself in it 7 times. Verse 14 says here, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. This is no medical procedure. This is no major surgery. This is a miracle of God. Well, Naaman returns to Elisha and says here in verse 15, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And with that, he urges Elisha to accept the money and clothing he's brought along. But Elisha tells him there's no copay needed for the grace of God. It's free. Now, I wish this encounter ended here at this point, but it doesn't. Verse 20 tells us, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, see, my master has spared this Naaman, the Syrian, in not accepting from his hand what he brought. Well, as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. Well, with that, Gehazi runs after Naaman. He spins out a lie about two prophets who just showed up and they need some money and they need some clothing. And, well, Naaman is only happy to comply. Gehazi thinks he's gotten away with this deception, but upon his return, Elisha asks him where he's been. Gehazi has to tell another lie. He says, well, I've been nowhere. Like when you see your child with cookie crumbs around his mouth and you ask him, what were you doing in the kitchen? And he says, nothing. Well, you know that nothing was a lot of something. Elisha sees through this lie and he tells this unrepentant man here in verse 27, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants. And the chapter closes with these words, he went out from his presence a leper. The healing of Naaman teaches us a lot of things. It teaches us something about the grace of God. Grace isn't limited to those born into the right family, is it? Grace is available to everyone. And it isn't something you have to purchase. You don't offer gold or good deeds. By the way, that's what made Gehazi's sin so serious. His actions robbed Naaman of a clear understanding that God's grace was completely free of charge. You just have to leave all those accolades, you leave your titles, you leave your impressive resume at the door, and by faith, humbly receive the grace of God. Have you accepted the free gift of God's grace that brings salvation? The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. All you have to do is ask him for this gift. You have to be humble in receiving it by faith alone, in Christ alone. If you haven't done that, I want you to pray with me right now. A very simple prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for doing all the work for my salvation, for dying on that cross for my sin. I ask right now for the gift of salvation and believe in you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that, would you call us? Would you write us? Would you let us know that you received this free gift of forgiveness today? Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, as Stephen just said, we would love to hear from you if you've received God's free gift of grace. The phone number here in our Cary, North Carolina office is 866-48-BIBLE. You can also send an email to info@wisdomonline.org. If you'd like a little bit more information about the message of the gospel and the grace that God offers you, visit wisdomonline.org/gospel. We have a resource called God's Wisdom for Your Heart. Please do that today. And join us back here next time as we continue along the wisdom journey.